Joining us now, she's going to tell us about education golf and golf 8.5. Hall of Famer Kay McMahon joins us. Kay, what's going on this morning?
Well, good morning and happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yes.
You've been talking about a couple of the things that I really love, considering I come from Minneapolis, and you had a very good segment on the My Vikings.
Yes, yes. Do you like the signing of Kirk Cousins?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. The number one defense just got even better, right?
Exactly. Keep the ball from everybody else. You don't have to worry about it as much. All right. So, Kay, tell our listeners a little bit about how they can keep golf simple. I mean, Golf 8.5, you and I had a chance to talk down at the merchandise show. I really like this from a beginner standpoint, to get more people into the game, to simplify the game for them. So I know this is radio and it's hard to do, but kind of give everybody a little feel for where we're starting on this.
Well, you're right. We keep talking about growing the game, and my belief is that we've got to grow more golfers. And so what we have to do is, and we really are setting out on a pretty bold mission of, we want to, in the next 2 years, grow another million golfers. But we came up with, I came up with Golf 8.5 as a simpler approach to teaching golf. Most golfers come to us with about 1,001 things in their head to do in 1.2 seconds, and it's just too many things to do. So Golf 8.5 is really very simple. It's only four things you do before the swing, and there's only four and a half things you do in the swing. And if you do the things we talk about, all those 1,001 things really happen. Typically, posture is taught first, and everybody gets all tied up in their posture. And the biggest move, or the biggest discovery we've made, is we don't really have to teach posture anymore. So the four things you do before the swing is, if you do them in the right order, you never really have to worry about your posture, and it happens automatically.
Well, I mean, what I like about this is anything that simplifies the approach to the game, like you said, growing the game, because so many of us came to the game being instructed usually by a family member who overthought it and talked to you. And so the first time you're standing over a ball and you're hacking away on a driving range, and your dad or your grandfather or your grandmother is there trying to help you out, too many angles, too many this with that and the grip and everything else, and not enough just swinging. But with 8.5 things, how many of them are praying? Because I do that a lot. How many of the 8.5 actually would qualify as prayer?
It's kind of interesting, because we talk about the first four things as what we call G-cap, like the cap on your head. So you're going to be like this, is if you first grip the club up in the air, that's what the G stands for, then you set the club head on the ground by stepping into it with your back foot, and then you align your feet. The P stands for posture, but as one lady said to me, oh, then I get to start praying.
Nice. I like her.
Nice.
Yeah, I like her style.
Well,
no, I like that. Four steps to the address. I think that's, I mean, again, that's another one of the issues about aligning your feet toward your target and blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. It just becomes, it's a barrier to success. I think people approach the golf shot, and look at all the amazing athletes who can't hit a golf ball. I mean, you can hit a curveball that's moving, but that silly white ball mocking you from sitting on top of a tee is very, very difficult. So anything we can do to simplify the approach and maybe clear the decks a little bit, I think that's fantastic.
Well, this is really kind of what happens with most amateur golfers, is that they set their feet first, and then they kind of waddle up to the ball as if they're, like, I call it the penguin walk. Mm-hmm. And the number one question we get asked all the time is, my alignment's always off, but the number one really question is, how far do I stand from the ball? You can't give a typical answer, because there's 14 different clubs and everybody has a different arm length. So by doing what we call our G-cap system, you first grip the club up in the air, and then you set the club on the ground. And this is true from your putter to your driver. If you do the same order, you know where to stand. So it takes care of that, how far to stand from the ball. It takes care of ball position, and it takes care of alignment. So we don't have to teach alignment anymore, how far to stand. And I always say the posture part happens automatically then, because at the age of one, we all figured out how to stand up. So we learned posture at the age of one. The only time we were reminded of was somewhere around 12 or 13, when your mother used to say, stand up straight. But that should be the last time anybody talked about posture.
Well, okay, when you look at those first four steps and you're talking about the address and how you approach the shot, the pre-shot routine, is there any room for, I don't know, sort of the creative visualization of how the shot's going to turn out? Is there any room for going to your happy place? Is there any room for I mean, I've got at least three voices in my head arguing at all times. Is there any room for, you know, quieting those things, or is it purely, are those four steps more mechanical than mental?
Well, everyone talks about doing a pre-shot routine, but nobody really tells you how to do the pre-shot routine. And the feedback that we've gotten from the thousands of golfers that we've introduced this to is that once we've developed this, even when they do this from the practice tee, when they're practicing the same routine every time, that all of a sudden they get over the ball and they are in the zone automatically without having to think, I'm in a zone, or I've got, as you said, the three voices talking in your head. Once you start practicing the first four steps, which really posture is automatic, it quieted everything down because now they know how to set up. And all that stuff is not going on in their head.
Well, yeah, don't ever ask him who the three voices are in his head.
So. Hey, now, there's no shame in this. It's Margaret Thatcher, it's Thomas Jefferson, and a seal. And I generally listen to the seal.
Yeah, so there you go. That's what I deal with all day long. Again, we're talking with Kay McMahon, a Hall of Famer in education golf and golf 8.5. All right, we talked about four before. We've got four and a half after?
You're right. Well, everybody asked me what the half is about. So, but let me describe the four things and why we've broken the swing down into just four and a half things. We've discovered you can talk to a lot of sports psychologists or people, how about people learn, and you can get very detailed about it. But really, if you break it down into people learn in chunks, we learn in little steps. Whether we're putting the barbecue together or whether we're playing basketball or whether we're playing football. So we talk about just the takeaway as the letter Y. Is you just make Y, you turn your chest, and the club head always stays within the center of your body. The top of the backswing is that your back arm basically bends into an L. Most people think it's your wrist, but it really is your elbow because it's a bigger muscle group. That creates what we call the L or the lever. The half is that the L or we call it the elevator because you make a box back there, comes down first. Traditionally, everyone talks about the hips move first, but the average amateur golfer really then comes over the top and creates this wonderful slice, and they want to get rid of that. So really, you want to come down with your hands first, and then we talk about past impact, not impact, as being the forward Y, and so you have another Y, and then at the end of the finish of the swing is a double L. And that's it. And you have a classic swing. But you need to do it to practice it effectively. You could change your swing in 7 days if you did it in slow motion and in very distinct parts.
Interesting.
Got it?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and the thing that you and I talked about, now some people might say, wow, this is too simple, or we're not teaching all of the things that people know. Like you said, I mean, there's thousands of things that you have to, you know, decisions you have to make in the 1.2 seconds. But to me, this is a great opportunity for people who maybe are new to the game or who haven't tried the game, the people who are going to Top Golf and, you know, and saying, oh, you know, give me that club. Let me see what I can do. It's the opportunity for them to maybe get the interest in the game. If they decide that this is something that they want to continue to do, then maybe they go buy some golf clubs and then they can go get, you know, some instruction where they're getting put on video and start getting all the minor tweaks and things that, that a lot of PGA professionals will do. I mean, that to me seems like a logical progression from start to, you know, playing every Saturday or Sunday.
Well, I think you're absolutely correct in the fact that if we can get somebody to hit a golf ball in the air, they're going to then have the opportunity to play. And as my business partner always says, you have to have a swing to be able to play. You've got to get the golf ball in the air. The game may be difficult. There's a lot more factors than that. But let's get a club in people's hands, and let's just get them to hit a golf ball, and they have a lot of fun. In fact, I've been doing a lot of work, a lot of events at Topgolf here in Orlando. So we see a lot of people who are getting the golf ball in the air but still need a lot of help with their swing.
Well,
so you're right, but, you know, it's... Go ahead.
I was going to say, and you know as well as I do, that no matter how new you are to the game or how long you've been playing, man, when you hit that ball flush, there's no better feeling, is there?
No, and people just, I mean, their eyes light up when they can get it. They go, I actually can do it. And so that's really the fun part of teaching for me, is that let's start growing more golfers, and they can have a lot more fun. But it's kind of interesting, too, about my Golf 8.5. It works very, very well for beginners. But we've got all the way to tour pros that are doing the same thing. because the idea is for people, no matter what level, there are some tweaks and there's some little details in each of the parts, but you first get the four big chunks to do that. But we want people to know their swings. Basically, I don't want people to have to come back to me. Let them go play. Let's get rid of them, basically.
Yeah, and I think that's the other thing, too, is you bring up a good point from my standpoint, is I've always said, yeah, it's great to sit there and pound range balls for, you know, hours upon end. We always see people sitting there hitting, you know, 100 balls with their driver and this, that, and the other thing. But, you know, and we always talk about it. We've talked about it, when, you know, for Tiger Woods when he was going through this, you know, one of 16 million comebacks. Is like, man, he's great on the range. He stripes it on the range, but then he gets out to the first tee. And he kind of did it yesterday. He was striping it on the range, got up on the first hole, and kind of hit a duck hook, you know, iron off the tee. It's not the same thing driving range to the golf course. And I think if you want to, you know, be a golfer, you got to get out and play golf. It's not just sitting on the range.
You're absolutely right. I mean, it's really, but let's get the golf, you know, let's give somebody a decent swing and get out there and play. I mean, it's, you're right. You just don't want to keep beating balls. But we also call it our smart learning strategies of how to practice effectively. And I always tell people, do it in slow motion. If I really had my way, I'd have a range that was only 50 yards long. So people aren't just smashing golf balls. That if you do it in parts and in slow motion, you can eventually add speed to it. But first take the speed out to do that. So we call our smart learning strategies. And there was one time when somebody came in, they said, this was a while back with Tiger, and they said, oh my gosh, they showed Tiger practicing on the range and he was hitting his 5-iron only 40 yards. The thing that the amateur golfer never sees is how people really, pros really practice. They don't keep smashing golf balls. They're really working on parts of their swing.
Right, and you see it all the time on TV when guys are doing a rehearsal and it looks like a completely odd, like a, maybe an over-the-top move or something like that. They're trying to work on that little piece.
You're absolutely right. And they're, you know, at the level that you see the pros on TV, which I call Golf 301, is that they're trying to work well one way or the other way. But for most people, I want to say, let's just try to hit it relatively straight. We keep you in the middle of the fairway, in the middle of the green. They're going to be happy. Let's get the golf ball airborne and stop topping so many balls.
Exactly. All right. So, Kay, if people want to find out more about education and Golf 8.5, where do they need to go?
Well, the website is Education Golf, but you put the K in the middle of it. So it's EDUKAYTIONGOLF. .com. And many people are also asking, well, we do go to other cities to do our workshops. We do a lot of workshops, but we're also starting an online program. So you can be in Kansas City or Minneapolis or Maine and still contact us via Skyping. And we've got another app that we use to do online lessons.
Awesome. Well, Kay, we really appreciate you coming on with us this morning, and we look forward to talking with you again.
All right. I'll leave you with my parting words. Keep your head up and your scores will come down.
There you go. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, guys.